Occupation means we have suffered through some really heavy winters to maintain our existence through thousands of years, to be upon our ancient land in relationship with the falls, the salmon, and our way of life. In 1957, my grandmother and great-grandmother stood beside Chief Tommy Thompson and his delegates, one of them being Abe Shaway, husband to Minnie Wesley Shaway, who was the interpreter in many cases, as he represented in this circle of leadership as they proceeded to plead Congress not to flood Salila Falls. The beginning of these talks really began in 33 after the building of the Bonneville Dam. But in 1946, there were certain things put in writing in acknowledging the original people. The Yakima, Umatilla, and Warm Springs are all descendant of, and many have taken on one federally recognized title or another. But the thing is that the individual Indians who the United States government deemed Salila Wild Indians, they coined this term over my grandmother, Irene Williams Bruno, when she in fact said, after they stereotypically marginalized her off to this place of uneducated, six family, alcoholic, this, that, and the other, they coined the term Salila Wild Indian. So I represent the legacy of being one of these Salila Wild Indians, right?
That's unspeakable.
And I didn't even know this myself, except I read it in a book, which is now a legal book out of the University of Washington by William Rogers Jr., who wrote the book The Salila Way. So he and Joseph Dupree and, I can't think of her name. Anyway, Kathleen Hill wrote this book and later developed curriculum from this book, The Salila Way, and later using it to teach federal Indian law at the University of Washington. So when this book came to my attention, there were a number of things, right, that I just didn't know. And my grandmother.
That term is so incredibly offensive, and there's no justification for it whatsoever.
Well, not having ever met my grandmother, because she took her life early on, sometime shortly after the flooding of the falls, it's the flooding of the falls and the annihilation of our people has really been just this tragedy, and it's been ongoing, and it's really an ongoing genocide when we look at the picture of in fact termination and extermination, all the way through the relocation plan that redeveloped the new village at Salila today. The consensus amongst all the people was that I didn't have a right to be there. That the Salila YM board, which was made up of delegates from the Yakima and Umatilla and Warm Springs tribes, the Bureau of Indian Affairs, the Army Corps of Engineers, and the residents at Salila all concurred that I didn't have the right to be or exist upon my ancestral land where the bones of my ancestors are buried. And so, having been the heir to this tragic story, I also possessed the documents that secured my right to stay, right? And in 1946, when the chiefs, including my grandmother's, got the United States government to write into their federal codes 248 and 249, this land is put in trust for the Yakima, Umatilla, Warm Springs, and other Columbia River Indians. And it wasn't truly defined whether Salila YM was categorized under that. And this was solidified in the process as they were trying to kick me out of the village, right? They gave me the 90-day vacate notice with no option to return, and said, in fact, gave me 10 different houses within a 50-mile radius of choosing where they would buy me a house somewhere off-site, right?
And well, tell me again when actually did this happen?
This began in 1999, 2000.
I've been fighting this a long time then.
Oh, my whole life. I was born into this fight. My grandmothers, all of the maternal people in my family have been made subject to these harsh extermination and termination processes through federal codes and regulations. Codes of federal regulations.
So if you were offered a house in a particular area, what about your other family members? I mean, that's not a nation, that's a tribe. You can't take people from their
But I had heirship, and so to the house, it was individually owned. It was individually put in trust for an individual Indian, right? And in 1946, this was something that was still happening. So when it was put in trust, it was put in trust for my grandmother, Minnie Wesley Shawway, right? And it was only like 0.7 acres, just a small amount of land where her house resided. Within the boundaries of that village at that time as they were putting the people through the relocation. And so when she left, then she left it to, and my grandmother had already been gone, but she had a son as well, and his name was Moses Shawway. And Moses Shawway knew the very important necessity to will this land to somebody who would maintain presence, which is one of the reasons he gave me his mother's Indian name. He told me when I got my Indian name, no matter where you go on this earth, no matter what happens, you will always have to come back to this place. And I have strayed away from Celilo in my adult years after my mother's passing. And it's always brought me back. The bones of my ancestors being there, that this huge connection to the land is more than just a few houses. And it's more than just the pool, Celilo Pool, as it stands. There is a deep connection to the falls as it still resides and lives, drowning it under this pool of water. And so when Moses willed this house to me, indeed, right? Yeah. He secured me a position of a legal position to maintain whether I was Yakima, Umatilla, Warm Springs or not, right? Because at the time he willed it to me, I was neither. And even though my mom knew that one day we as her offspring would lose our fishing rights because we were not Yakima, Umatilla, Warm Springs or Nez Perce, and based on our dad was a Canadian, right? And I'm not even going to say what people have said to us on that note, but it's not been nice. In the process of extermination and termination through federal 25 CFR, whatever they want to use to throw out a non-Indian is what they've pretty much tagged on us for this go-around, is that we're non-Indians. So because Moses, in fact, willed me the house with the deed intact of this individual trust land and the home on it, having been one of the only homeowners left on the land who was not federally recognized, who comes from a long lineage of Celilo YM women warriors. It was highly on the top of their list. You know, like when the BPA, Army Corps of Engineers, and all these folks, Bureau of Indian Affairs came back and thought, 50 years later, there would be none of us left, right?
Yeah.
Everybody would have been absorbed by one tribe or another. And there was no way that in their minds, 50 years later, did they think there was going to be one standing Celilo YM Indian, right? An individual Indian who came by way of all of these women. And all of these women who, in fact, fought the United States government. They didn't just say, okay, you know, do what you want, please, and just, you know, let us stay. It wasn't as simple as that. They fought the United States government to legitimize our position as Columbia River Indians and furthermore as Celilo YM in the federal 25 CFR 248 and 249 readings, which is all inclusive of Columbia River Indians. So when they were in fact trying to kick me out of Celilo. I made them in this mediation process that I went through, which my attorney really didn't represent me all that well, and I'm bound to, what do you call it? Anyway, I can't talk about it, about the proceedings. Yeah. And so my position from the get was, because I inherited all these papers along with this land and this house, was that I knew what the codes read, and I knew, you know, with all certainty and without a doubt that it was all inclusive of Columbia River Indians. And so during this mediation process, I needed them to define that. And what they don't really get here, as you hit on it, is they were removed to the reservations. It wasn't their choice. Mm-hmm. With all regard and respect to my people and my elders who are on the reservations, shout out of love on that note. But so being removed means, and I have this permit, right? This old permit back in the 40s where if you had, in fact, taken a home or taken a title of Yakima, Umatilla, or Warm Springs, or Nez Perce, you had to get a permit to leave the reservation, see, to come back to Celilo to fish. But you see, we maintain that. The individual stand of these Celilo Wild Indians, we maintained and preserved it to the fullest in our rebel, I guess. I'm not a rebellion. I'm a person of love and unity and peace. Okay, but in their stand against the United States government at that time, these individual Indians, in fact, secured a place for them to always return. We never had to get that permit because we never left. This ongoing genocidal practice of the United States government through their simple words of extermination and termination actually have a lot of power over a people. And I say that in a spiritual sense. They're not just a few words. They've kept us impoverished. They've kept us bound. They've kept us a very isolated community. They've kept us prisoners of war, in fact. And because they're our great parent and they can dictate over us, right? Mm-hmm. Their executive writ, their hierarchy of decision making. Uh-oh, I'm going out there, sorry. You see, going back to the 1946 writings of the 25 CFR 248-249 readings that reads all-inclusive of Columbia River Indians as having the right to maintain and stay and occupy, did not secure us the right to fish because we have never, and I don't know if the word is ratified, abrogated, we've never asked them to acknowledge. We've never been given the opportunity, just the same way they shut me out during mediation, getting my attorney to scream at me to name my price, is exactly what I'm talking about, and how they've continued to phase us out. Meanwhile, I've got people in the Celilo Indian village saying, doesn't she know she's defeated?
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Community Acupuncture and Massage, a benefit for political prisoner Mutulu Shakur, Sunday, February the 7th, noon to 4 p.m. at 7 Star Acupuncture in Portland. Dr. Mutulu Shakur was one of the founders of the Black Acupuncture Advisory Association in North America and the Harlem Institute of Acupuncture. Incarcerated for 30 years, Mutulu and his legal team are seeking community and financial support to fight his imprisonment. A group of licensed acupuncturists and massage therapists are offering treatments to our community as a fundraiser. Again, that's of Community Acupuncture and Massage, a benefit for political prisoner Mutulu Shakur, Sunday, February the 7th, noon to 4 p.m. at 7 Star Acupuncture, 436 Southeast 12th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the book release for Radical Mycology, a book on DIY mushroom cultivation, pollution cleanup, and more. The book release event will take place February 6th from 5:30 to 9 p.m. with author and Portland native Peter McCoy speaking at Tabor Space in Portland. McCoy will give two different presentations on the book's topics. There will also be a performance piece, projection art, and more. Again, that's the Radical Mycology book release, Saturday, February 6th, from 5:30 to 9 p.m. at Tabor Space, 5441 Southeast Belmont Street in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
The time is 5:59 p.m. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next, it's Labor Radio.
9-to-5er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up. It's Labor Radio.
Holla. Welcome to the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists segment of Labor Radio, highlighting the works of the working class, by the working class, and for the working class, here on KBOO 90.7 FM, where the heart of the community comes alive 7 days a week. My name is Tina Turner Morfitt. I am a member of the American Federation of State and County Municipal Employees and the current president of the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists. Tonight, I'm joined as usual by my sisters in the struggle.
Hi, I'm Dr. Audrey Terrell. I'm vice president of the Oregon Coalition of Black Trade Union, and I'm also the president and CEO of DATOT, Dr. Audrey Terrell Institute.
Good evening, Portland, and those out there in Radioland. This is Deborah Hall with the American Federation of Teachers.